was a mighty nation, blessed above all of creation. It was a rare and precious pearl, conceived in faith and liberty, home of the brave, land of the free. It was the envy of the world. But this shining city on a hill has turned from the Creator's will and let evil take control. Now the reckless men who lead them want to strip away their freedom and to steal their very soul. Now it's smoke and mirrors, switching bait, criticize and confiscate, and let the guilty walk away. In this once righteous, godly nation, in the halls of education, they forbid a child to pray. They say we need to spread the wealth. They pretend to guard the health of the feeble and the poor. While the hand they hold behind their back confuses and conceals the fact that the wolf is at the door. There's an unseen hand that pulls a string. It makes his little puppets dance to every song he sings. As the night folds in on a rising tide, look beyond the shadows, behold a pale horse ride.
Resurrected Republic, Truth Radio Broadcast from RBN. This is Tom Lacabara Stewart. We are back. You guys, most of you know that I'm still in a federal facility. I am in a halfway house now. I have access to devices that I can do the show. I was blessed to have my good friends. Sorry, I had to run inside. Blessed to have my good friends stand by me and keep this going. For that, I am eternally grateful. I'm grateful to God. I'm grateful to those who repeatedly wrote me, even though a lot of you had your mail sent back. My lawyer was, she was telling me, she was keeping track and keeping track of the complaints. And for those who are interested in listening to this tonight, who are working for some of these alphabet soup agencies, which I know you're out there, I want you to know what gave me the inspiration to create this. I want you to look up the name in your IRS files of Robert Crandall Stewart, a descendant of people that came from Salem and Fall River, Massachusetts. People that helped build this country into what it was and what you did. That's just one indictment upon the IRS out of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of indictments upon the IRS and the unlawful, unconstitutional Federal Reserve and those who put it into place, who issued debt notes instead of currency, who confiscated all of our gold and bankrupt the nation. You know, we had our coffers pretty full once. It was a long time ago. And one of the reasons why I think you'll find President Andrew Jackson making his way behind a lot of pictures of our current president. He's a man to be admired for many things. It was a complicated time, and it was a different era. But the one thing that he said, "I killed the banks." Second Bank of the United States. Yep, didn't allow it to happen. And for the first time since the Revolutionary War, and one of the last times in our history, our debts were paid and there was money in the coffers. And you know what? There wasn't an income tax. There wasn't an income tax for many, many, many years after. And you know what? We still had roads. We still had schools. We still had fire service. We still had law enforcement. Imagine that. Kind of funny how that works. Of course, we didn't have it on the behemoth scale that we have it now. But we had it. Every man and woman were the militia. They governed themselves accordingly, and they took care of their lives and their property because they ultimately, by nature and nature's God, have the authority to do so. And no government has the right to take that away from them as long as they're not harming others. So anyway, I've said my piece. Now you know the bones of my creation. First from God, and then from what you did. So this is what we do here. This is a network that tells you the truth. We dig to the heart of the matter. And even from a federal facility, I will not be afraid. I refuse to be afraid. I stand on my principles, and I stand on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I stand on. That's my bedrock foundation. Lori, you have some more stuff you want to share with us, I understand.
Yes, I just wanted to say that those individuals we were talking about, I want to thank them because, you know, in the 2014 resolution, number 8 says, quote, arrest of citizens or seizure of persons or property without first notifying and obtaining the express consent of the local sheriff. That resolution covers not only guns, it covers the Fourth Amendment, it covers private property, and including and not limited to the speedy and public jury trials. It also covers the incarcerations without charge or trial, which stemmed out of that NDAA, indefinite detention. And I just want to thank those individuals that took a stand, that did actually abide by what they said and abided by their oath and protected the individual American people. We need many more like them.
Do you not have a problem with the word citizen?
Citizen, small c, brother. Not citizen in the way it's defined. We need to clarify that. We're using citizen in the English spoken language. We're not using the legalese. There is a difference from the Webster's dictionary to the legal dictionary. We don't mean citizen or person as in respect to the Person Act of 1868 or of the 14th Amendment's definition of citizen, also including persons or corporations. I think that's a very valid point you just brought up.
Absolutely. And you know, just on that note, these individuals that we're speaking about, whether you use the word citizen, and you know I usually use the word individual, have stood up for individuals' unalienable rights. And that's what I'm thanking them for doing. They're abiding by what they know to stand up for people's individual unalienable rights, including not allowing the IRS to take private property from an individual until all due process has been taken, and refused to allow a forced sheriff sale of 3 of his properties. So
yes, and even still, we have had judicial activists, I call them, who are judges that rule in blatant violation of the U.S. Constitution.
Absolutely.
And the sheriff still has the authority to uphold the Constitution for any unlawful order or judgment. It has happened in the past. I've seen it happen in the past. We will share some of those links in the coming weeks ahead. I'll dig for them. But it has happened. Now, there is layers to this. We all know that. Everybody who listens to RBN knows that. So what we talk, I mean, I always say the word citizen. I'm a citizen of my state. I'm not a U.S. 14th Amendment. So, well, I was. I got trapped into that jurisdiction by adhesion, which was a mistake that I made. You live and learn, folks. Happens to the best of us. So I think that I even want to say this again. We are citizens of our respective states. Prior to the 14th Amendment being forced into law, and many states, once they learned the true nature and the purpose of the 14th Amendment, they withdrew the ratification of the 14th Amendment, and Secretary of State William Seward decided to order it by Executive Order 6 and 7, booked and published, in complete violation of the consent of the governed and of their representatives. And I'm not talking about the southern states. Everybody who's listened to this show, I've been gone a year. I know that we have some new listeners, so we'll do this in the future. We'll pour into the details of this. But this was something that was purported to be about freeing the slaves. Well, I urge anyone to read the four sections of the 14th Amendment. How many sentences do you need that states that all people, regardless of their pigment, were of original national origin once they become members of a body politic, are all equal and free? I can do that in one sentence. It didn't need four sections, and it certainly didn't need a fourth section that said the validity of the public debt shall not be questioned, and then just a few short years later, turning that public debt and putting it into the hand of a bunch of international bankers. This was a plan. This was plotted out long-term over the course of time. They've hijacked our language. They've replaced it with legalese and glossa and dog Latin and everything else. They're tricksters. And that's what they do. There's a lot of good folks. Like, I look at, you want to look at a shining example of somebody who became a bar attorney? Because there are good ones, folks. There are good ones. One of them is Chris Ann Hall. She can look past whatever it is, whatever that ideological programming or whatever that was, that bar association that we were coming down on all the time. She was a bar member. She was a practicing attorney. But she turned around in strict defiance of that that monstrosity, and she teaches it the way it's supposed to be taught. So there's just one example. There are many people just like that who have been working amongst the system, who they've been born and raised from the time that they were little kids to be taught that things are a certain way. I was showing people some pictures of an American classroom prior to the 1940s, where all the kids did the Pledge of Allegiance doing the Bellamy salute, which is the salute that the German army used. You know, people just don't understand that from 1810, 1812 to the modern era, we have slowly been changed and slowly been propagandized. So we need to peel back those layers. And I think that a viable and meaningful major step is to start with people who have started to become awakened. They've started to see the problem and how it's manifesting itself, and they find themselves doing something about it, like Sheriff Palmer, like Sheriff DeMeo, like Sheriff Danny Payman, like Sheriff Mack, a lot of these other, and they're not all perfect, folks. We can find faults with everybody. I know I can find faults with myself. Some of them are different layers of awakening. Some of them are real close to all of it. But we must reach out to them in a civil manner, civil discourse with these individuals, and share with them information. Now, it's the way of the far leftists and the collectivists to shut down that intelligent debate. We see it happening all over the country right now. Anytime that anyone wants to give a common sense viewpoint these days, they're met with crowds of screaming and petulant little children setting off fire alarms and smashing windows and attacking people. That's their way. That is the way of these neo-Marxists to silence the truth, because they want a totalitarian one world government. They want all, you know, and a lot of these people, you know what? They've got some big hearts. They want to sing Kumbaya around a big bonfire and peace and love and granola. They're living in a utopia that does not exist. It cannot exist. It's the reason why small, limited government and accountability to the local level is so critically important to get behind. We need to put these people like the Sheriff Max and the Sheriff Rogers and these folks into place that are willing to stand for people. We need to inform them how unlawful these banks are, what fractional reserve banking is, what empowered the Federal Reserve, what makes it constitutional. These people, a lot of them have honor. A lot of them have honor. And if you show them the proof, if you look, what I did all over the South My lawyer will tell you, I went to the sheriff's department with the proof in my hand. Sometimes they would listen, sometimes they wouldn't. But I had incredible, long, meaningful conversations with sheriffs and sheriff's deputies that agreed with me and were doing something about it. Now, excuse me, one of the men that went to that Las Vegas meeting where Sheriff Palmer was speaking, he wasn't a sheriff, he was a police officer. He was met with a horrible resistance at the airport when he arrived, a TSA. When he got back to his jurisdiction, he found that his police department was all about disbanded, and they pulled they tried pinning a heinous sex crime against him. Same thing they did with excuse me, Julian Assange. Same thing that they did with Judge Roy Moore. Same thing that they do with many of these people that they cannot tolerate them at all. Any other ideology but their collectivist utopian ideals. They silence them down. You're going to wait 30 or 40 years to bring forth an allegation when somebody's running for an important office right before the election? Really? I mean, I don't know Judge Moore. I really don't know anything about him except that I don't care whether he was what he was running for, right before an election, to go 40 years back into somebody's past, and now they're finding out that the girl said she was 15 years old and she was working at that place, and that place didn't hire anybody but over 16. So that's just one lie. And where she said it happened didn't exist, that's another lie. So there's just, and then the person that got behind bringing her forward worked for the DNC, that's another, you know, just another layer of it. These people, they're using the Saul Alinsky book of tactics. Saul Alinsky, the Satanist, look it up if you don't believe me. Saul Alinsky, by any means necessary, and you've heard this from the progressive left all the time, by any means necessary. Absolutely pervasive threat. So my goal is to bring these layers of truth together. Now, I'm reaching out right now, and I think that it's important to do what Lori and I talked earlier, and I shared this with Eric, is to get behind these folks that are risking their necks, their careers, their pensions, their livelihoods, and they are doing something. Are they doing everything that you would want them to do right now? Maybe not. Do they know everything that you would want them to know right now? Maybe not. But the ones that are sticking their necks out and having them swung at to be lopped off, if we don't get behind them, then what good are we? Right, Lori?
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely.
So, now, we have some more to share with you. I don't know if you have this ready, but Sheriff Mack did an interview with Sybil Edmonds and Sheriff Palmer. Do you have that clip ready, Mike? Okay, he's grabbing it now. Okay, go ahead and roll that clip, would you?
Hey, everyone, this is Spiro. I have two very special guests with me joined today on the line, and we're going to talk about the Oregon standoff here briefly and cover some of the recent developments in regards to what has taken place since the standoff has ended there in just outside of Burns, Oregon. I'm joined by Sybil Edmonds. She is the founder of Boiling Frogs Post, as well as Sheriff Richard Mack, who is the founder of the CSPOA, the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association. I'd like to welcome you both today. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks.
Great. Good to be here, Spiro.
Excellent. So some of the recent developments that we have seen since this standoff has come to a close. We have seen many indictments come down, and court proceedings are now beginning. Some of the things that I was worried about when this whole standoff took place was that people would lose sight of exactly why people were there in Burns to demonstrate to begin with. And This was centered largely around support for the Hammond family and the what people felt was the federal overreach in regards to land grabbing, and it was still taking place at this point in time. And a lot of people felt that the takeover of the wildlife refuge had sort of overshadowed those current, you know, those previous concerns there. Well, since then, you know, I was concerned that this would be used to come after the Second Amendment, to demonize the Patriot movement, to come after the militias, anyone who supports the Constitution, basically, and push their agenda of trying to brand anyone who supports the Constitution a domestic terrorist, basically. And we have seen those labels thrown around pretty loosely, militants, anti-government. It's got to the point now where they have a sheriff in their crosshairs, and this is Sheriff Palmer out of Grant County. And he is in the crosshairs right now. Department of Justice, I'm sure you're all well aware of, they're going to be potentially investigating him for alleged misconduct. Now, there has been law enforcement officials there in John Day, such as the chief of police, who is one of those accusing this sheriff of this misconduct. We had posted a video and an article talking about this over on Boiling Frogs Post, and it's titled, "Obama Set to Settle Score Against the Oregon Sheriff Outspoken on the Second Amendment." And just wanted to get both of your guys' take on the current situation and where we're at and where we think this could be going, especially going after law enforcement.
Well, this is a rather scary that has involved Sheriff Palmer, and I know Sheriff Palmer very well, and I've done a lot of work with him over the years. In fact, he was the first sheriff in America to have our constitutional training, and I provided that for him and his entire agency about 15 years ago. But these allegations that have been made against him by some of the folks in Grant County, I really find quite comical, if not entirely laughable, because they have no substance. There's no what they think. What was the complaint? That he might be a security risk? Mm-hmm. Well, tell me what he's done to be a security risk, and you know, maybe they could involve that. And even if he is a security risk, then involve him with any of your security. And I was in charge of dispatch at two different agencies. I'm a communications director, and I was also, when I was chair, the entire communications for the county, all police agencies. If a dispatcher came to me and said, "Sheriff Mack, we have another sheriff here, or another chief of police, and I feel that he is a security risk," if she could not substantiate any reason why he was a security risk, except that he received some calls from a couple of militia people, then I would tell her to shut up and go back and do her job. And if she couldn't substantiate it, I might investigate her. And so I would say on its
face, amen,
the allegations that are being made against Sheriff Palmer, the Justice Department or FBI would have to say, "What are you talking about?" There would have to be a substantial evidence of wrongdoing on Sheriff Palmer's part. What are they going to do? He's a security risk? How do you investigate that? And what crime is that if you are? You know, Hillary Clinton is a security risk, and they're barely even going after her, and probably won't go after her, even though it's obvious that she has perjured herself and been a violator of different high security crimes. So I think this is a joke, and I think the people making the allegations are political enemies of Sheriff Palmer. In fact, somebody last time, I think it was a sergeant or the current chief, actually ran against Sheriff Palmer, and Sheriff Palmer beat him in a landslide. So, of course, they're upset about that, and there's other people that are upset about that wishes somebody else would be sheriff. But this is ridiculous. And if they can't substantiate something a little bit better than we think he's a security risk, which is not a crime, then I think this is all going to be laughed at quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'd have to agree with you on that. One of the dispatchers there stated, they pretty much kept the sheriff out of the loop when the ambush took place, when they arrested the leaders of the wildlife refuge. And Sheriff Palmer actually called it an ambush and caught some heat for his view on that. Of course, the mainstream media is trying to portray that as a routine traffic stop that had taken place.
Oh, yeah, routine, right. If you look at a bunch of people being ready to pounce on you like they obviously had and a roadblock, well, that looks kind of like an ambush. I don't think that's too far a stretch for Sheriff Palmer to say that. And that's not a crime either.
Right. Yeah, so he was Sheriff Palmer was kept out of the loop. These guys were on the way to his county, to Grant County, and to John Day, to speak with members of the community there. And this ambush took place, and he was, like I said, out of the loop. And when he radioed his dispatch to get information of what was taking place, the 911 or the dispatcher said that she didn't feel comfortable giving him information because they felt that he was a security risk. So, the DOJ, the FBI, they're
all dispatcher
potentially looking at him on this at this point. But I agree with you 100% on that, Sheriff Mack.
I would tell her to grow up and to do her job.
Sibel, what are your thoughts on what's been taking place here in regards to the coming after the law enforcement here, potentially?
Right. First of all, Sheriff Mack brought up a very good point that I did not include in this recent article that I just published. He talked about the effect and the factor of local politics, and that was one subject that I did not include in this recent article. So I'm so glad that he mentioned, and he is absolutely right, because when you look at some of the past connections and what we are seeing locally in that county, that absolutely makes sense. But as we know, the mainstream media, they usually don't really cover or provide coverage for local politics. But in this case, what we are seeing is we are seeing the major, bigger interest beyond that is capitalizing on this. And it's really important to see actually where the starting point is with these allegations surfacing against Sheriff Palmer, and whether it started as a local issue and with these local people trying to act as opportunists and coming after and going after Sheriff Palmer, or is it being orchestrated from the above, meaning considering the background and the history of Sheriff Palmer, this is the time that that the federal government, the feds, want to make examples of people like Sheriff Palmer. And again, when you look at the media coverage, the coverage by Oregon Live really didn't carry any journalistic integrity, because this article, even though they called Palmer as an outspoken person who has been in the amendment in 2013 after the Sandy Hook incident, and again in 2015, they presented this case in this article in a very one-sided manner, which for us means deprived of any kind of journalistic integrity. And again, with Oregon Live and with the higher interest, you really have to move up and look at the bigger picture and say, what are the implications of this? Because it may start as some kind of a meddling, local political meddling, but then when you look at the higher and bigger interest above, how those can be used, now that
folks,
becomes a different story.
We'll be right back. We'll be right back. Resurrect a Republic.
The smoke is rising in the shadows overhead.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. Along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience-supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Mother of the moon, which built my sails, rose the sea of tears.
Welcome back, Resurrect the Republic, radio broadcast on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Folks, I urge you all to support RBN. Please schedule a regular monthly donation if you can afford it. And if you support this broadcast, this radio show, you can go to PayPal at RTR Truth Media. The links will be in the archives, as well as you can go to resurrecttherepublic.com, click on the PayPal there, show your love and support if you can afford to. That'd be great. Of course, RBN comes first. They keep the lights on and they keep us flowing and on the air, and that is more important than anything. But if you want to get behind us and support us, you know, I'm still in the federal hoosegow. The halfway who's gal, so we could still use your support. That being said, Lori, we have some other material that we wanted to get to tonight. Now, there was a clip where Sheriff Palmer deputizes a whole bunch of people. Mike, can you get that ready for us? Now, here's another example. Here is an example of how a sheriff can take action to get the help that he needs from the people. Well, I hear something's going on there. Larry, okay, roll that clip.
Appreciate the opportunity to come and visit with you. Hope I can keep things in a chronological order and keep it short as I can. Last year we had a fire up on Aldridge that burned, I don't know, 65,000, 75,000 acres. This year we almost lost 111,000 acres. One of the meetings that I went to with Forest Supervisor Steve Beverland, I heard him make comments over here at a couple of meetings that we can't take a bulldozer into the wilderness because it's the law. There are some other things that he mentioned in the public meeting that's on their tape recorder. They had their camera going. We can't do this because it's the law. One of my public comments at the meeting was, we need to stop getting angry and have action on this forest. And by making that statement a couple months ago, I have asked 11 people, I deputized them and empowered them to put a public lands natural resource plan together for me. And I deputized them and empowered them to look at this. And what I'm doing is I would like to leave a copy of this with you and for all three of you gentlemen to look at it. You can make a copy of it if you want. What I'm doing with the Grant County Public Lands Natural Resource Plan is I'm invoking coordination through the Sheriff's Office. I feel that with me asking for coordination some time back, I sent a letter to the Forest Service. I got this. I got the door shut in my face. I've asked for other things from the Forest Service for my job. I get the door shut in my face. Coordination is the law, and I intend to follow the law.
Sheriff Palmer, you didn't feel like you could bring this forward as a regular item in our agenda, have something like that? You didn't feel like you could maybe have that so we could look at it beforehand and all that, and all this? You didn't feel like you could do that in a regular court session?
Jim?
Keep talking.
Stop before you. What? Stop before you.
You know what? I don't know what to tell you.
For the benefit of the public, yeah. You know, so everybody knows what you're going to talk about. That's what I'm talking about. We might pack this whole thing in here if the public had a notion of what you were going to bring forward. I mean, do you agree?
It could have, but there's days down the road that we need to start planning and to implement coordination. So there's time down the road for this. One of the other things I want to let you know is I'm the only one on during days. I'm getting home at 9 o'clock at night. I'm trying to get in before 8 o'clock, and my phone starts ringing at 6:30 or 7 in the morning, and I'm finding it extremely hard to do this job. And I'm implementing the resource plan, and I'm implementing coordination. I'm bringing this to you when I can and when I can, and as a sheriff of Grant County, I'm implementing coordination. I think it's, as Mr. Beverland said, it's the law. Coordination is the law, and I intend to follow the law.
So what does that mean? To help me out.
Here, boy.
Excuse me, sir. I'm talking to him.
I want to leave a copy of this with you, Scott, for the record. And you can copy it and distribute it public record. People want a copy of it. I've got them at the office. They can pick them up as well. So, Boyd, I'm sorry. I've had 3 days off since the August 14th of August. So time is not a...
What's to say? Can we go on the next agenda?
I'm just asking, what does it mean? By you invoking coordination. Help me out here. What does that mean?
As a sheriff of the county, I can invoke coordination. What I'm asking is the Forest Service come to us and include us in the decisions that they're making on the National Forest within this county. Like I said, I've asked for documents. I've asked to be included. I've asked for coordination. And I've had the door shut in my face. So I've empowered a panel of 11 people to formulate this plan, and they gave it to me. I'm adopting it. And I'm here to tell you today that I'm implementing coordination. And what I would like to do is I want a seat at the table. The people that I represent are not getting heard. I'm not getting heard. As a sheriff of this county, when I've got responsibility to search and rescue and emergency events going on in this force, and I can't get a meeting and I can't get an answer and I can't get a document from these people, I'm implementing coordination. It needs to happen.
And I suggest right now that we formally accept his plan and we review it and Walker said, what is to say that we can't have this discussion?
You can pause it there. We're going to put these clips in their entirety into the description of the archives so that you guys can go back and you can listen to the full clips. We don't need to waste all the airtime in a meeting, but I just wanted to show you the opposition that these people meet when they go. It's the sheriff's right to deputize. How many ever people he needs to affect the law? And these guys and gals run up to brick walls with ball-peen hammers, but they swing away. We are the power that puts that sledgehammer in their hand. And my point, I think I've made rather well tonight, is that we need to back them up when they're willing to stand, and we need to educate those who don't know their own authority and their own job in their own counties to do so. You know, I've gone all around the South helping campaign for folks that weren't even in my district. Running for sheriff was a man named Carl Pittman down there in Texas. He lost out, but he was close. He wanted to create a constitutional academy. And he wanted every one of his deputies, if he was elected sheriff, to have to take a course on the Constitution and on the rights of the people, the natural rights of the people. He used that word, natural rights of the people. Inherent. Inalienable. Not given to us by government. And it broke my heart when he lost that election, but we need to keep pounding away. We need to keep pounding away. So anyway, Lori, I'm running towards the end here. We still have, I hope that we still have Chris and Eric with us. I feel like I've kind of hogged most of the time, and that's not really exactly fair. I'd like to thank those guys for doing everything that they've done, and allowing me to just come in whenever it is that I can. Is also a sacrifice that I'd like to, you know, I'd like to thank them for that too. For everybody that's been there for me. Eric, Chris, if you can hear me, I wouldn't have been able to do this without you guys and without Lori and without my Lori and without John Statmiller. So I thank you again. Lori, you wanna pick up on some information? I'm gonna have to jump off here soon because we have some things going on here.
Well, yeah, if you wanted to, you know, you were referring to earlier about how the individuals sometimes, you know, they have no knowledge. And that is true. If you remember Chris Ann Hall, she wasn't born someone who knew about the Constitution. And she was actually used to be a bar attorney. Absolutely did.
And a prosecutor.
Yeah, and a prosecutor, and she made the comment, and she's made it very public, that in law school, they do not teach the Constitution. She had to dig and get that information for herself, and when she found out what was really going on, you know, her history was really interesting because, and this is what she says about herself. She says, right up front, there are some things I need to tell you about myself. I want you to know where I came from and how I got to where I am today. I don't want to ever be accused of deception or dishonesty, so in full disclosure, I was not born a constitutionalist. I didn't give my life with an inherent understanding of liberty and what is necessary to defend it. I was not raised a Christian. For some, these things will be a stumbling block, so you need to know it from me. She was raised a Democrat. The only thing more evil than Satan was a Republican in my home. There were no choices to be made in voting. Straight Democrat party line was the only choice. She was an environmentalist, an ardent environmentalist. Some of my best friends were members of Greenpeace, and she supported the WWF and PETA. She was a vegetarian by ideology, not for health reasons, for almost 15 years. She believed in the quote-unquote good of scientific manipulations of food, and the necessity of vaccines. not only believed this, but helped to create them when I was a biochemist for Monsanto. She believed in global warming and defended it vigorously. She believed in the Big Bang and openly criticized those who believed in creationism as ignorant and misled. She believed the government's duty and purpose was to be a provider for the people. She supported programs that would give the government more control over the people. She even believed a one-world government was the best way to go to ensure global peace, and she supported principles of socialism, although she stated that she cannot claim to have known at the time what socialism per se that I supported. I supported abortion and often openly condemned others for being pro-life. I've argued with abortion protesters on street corners and called them names that I am not proud of. I was not only not a Christian, but I practiced many other religions, including many occult versions. I was bitter against God, and I felt only ignorant, weak people needed faith. I was too intelligent and too educated for such a feeble crutch. I was not born with the knowledge that I have now. I did not wake up one morning with a divine epiphany. I traveled a long road, and I learned some hard and painful lessons. My beliefs were challenged, and I came to know the truth. I am able to stand firm on what I believe because I have discovered the difference between truth and lies. I am able to defend the truth because I walked the path. I can show you my path of discovery and to be guaranteed it is not tied to any political motivation or personal gain unless you call the libertarian that comes from knowing the truth in the face of lies a personal gain. So when someone says to you, do you know that person used to be associated with this group or used to believe this, how can you possibly believe them now? Remember this story. It is good to question someone's transformation. You should do that. If they cannot show you that path step by step, then you should question their motivations. But do not discount someone's current position just because of who they used to be, or who they used to associate with, or what
Amen
they used to believe.
Amen.
Sometimes it is not selfish or deceptive motivation, but a path to enlightenment. We all had to wake up somehow. So that you know where I stand, Chris Ann Hall, author of Not Living, Breathing Document, Reclaiming Our Constitution, and the DVD series The Roots of Liberty, The Historic Foundations of the Bill of Rights and Bedtime Stories for Budding Patriots, The Essential Series for Junior Patriots, two books that inspired Chris Ann's love for our history, were Founding Brothers by Joseph Ellis and 1776 by David McCullough, awarded Freedom Fighter Award by Americans for Prosperity, Certificate Achievement from the Sons of the Revolution for her defense of liberty, and Congressman James Blair Award for defending the Constitution. She travels all across the country to speak to groups all around the nation. She has also spoke with many members in Congress trying to educate them. Chris Ann is an incredibly passionate speaker, true Patrick Henry of our time. She speaks
Amen
to audiences
that.
And on constitutional history, American exceptionalism, the fight for liberty, and her passion and enthusiasm is contagious. Is able to inspire any group, steadfast warrior in the battle for liberty.
Mercy Otis Warren 2.0.
She is another individual who, looking at her history, you would think there is no way she could have been reached. And there was a long road, and there was a lot of propaganda that she was fed, and even through the bar, you know. And she exposes mm-hmm. the bar in detail in many of her
mm-hmm.
Videos she does, and she lets people know that is a society, you know.
Sure, it's a legal society.
Yeah, and yep. So she exposes all of that, but to hear her history, it is amazing that she does what she does now, and people well, like that we can reach through education.
You know, Lori, the parallels there are similar, I'm not going to say exact, with my life. You know, there was a time in my life that they used against me, of course, and that many people out there tried smearing me with for many, many, many years ago the pain that I was in. I had to self-medicate. I got myself into trouble. I've not hid that from my audience, not one bit. I did a lot of things I wasn't proud of. I lost my home. Two hurricanes leveled my home in Florida. And I was racked in pain and had my house collapsed, and I hadn't gotten insurance yet. And a big mess that happened, and I went through a really rough time. But then, through a course of discovery and inspiration, I found my way. And I didn't believe either. I believed in God as an abstract thought. You know, did I believe in God? Didn't I believe in God? You know, I really didn't have that in my life. But, you know, my path came to be the same way. I found the morality and the common sense of the New Testament. And I learned a lot from my father, who had discovered the layers of information that are within the Bible. My father, as a judge himself, I think it was the Bible that opened his eyes. And what he would say to my Lori before he passed is, he'd always say to her before he got off the phone, "Vaya con Dios," go with God. You know, we've all, at one point, time or another, been in the darkness. And when we emerge into the light and we find our path and right ourselves and move forward, it's very easy to go back to someone's past and say, well, didn't he or didn't she belong to this or do that or whatever. Doesn't it matter how we're living now, what we're doing now, and what we've learned now and how we're applying it? It's so essential that we be very careful to judge people like Chris Ann for these. I knew. I had found out about these associations. That's why one of the things that somebody had sent me an email said, well, I don't trust Masons or their sons. But that is just as ignorant as those who are blind to the truth and are applying this jurisdiction upon people wrongfully. It is just as ignorant to judge somebody by the deeds of 20 years ago or 15 years ago compared to what they're doing today. Many of these people, have they gotten their butts up off their couch or off of social media to go out there to John Day or Burns or Malheur or the Bundy Ranch or Philadelphia or Washington, D.C. or anything else? A lot of these people are rather critical. But what have they done? What have they given? You know, if all of us gave half the effort that we give to social media to actually fighting for these things, the world would be a better place, which I kind of think is part of the plan of social media anyway.
Right. And you know, I hate that that there's so much misinformation out there, including inside law enforcement. And remember, a long time ago, you and I covered the propaganda that was coming from the Department of Homeland Security into the police departments and into the sheriff's departments, even about the Bundys. Remember that?
Hey, you know, it was really weird. It was really weird seeing me actually on the Department of Homeland Security right-wing extremist card that they had in my discovery. That was, I guess maybe I'm doing something right.
Well, you know, if you remember that stemmed from SPLC. You remember that?
Yes, I do remember that, and we covered that extensively. The Southern Poverty Liar Center is one of those cancers upon the law enforcement community that it was allowed to go on for far too long. The FBI, I think, ended up taking their stuff off their site. You know, I don't think right or left wing politics has a place in law enforcement. When we allow that to become politicized and to be used as a political arm, I mean, just look at what the what's her name did. Lyme disease is affecting me. Yeah, Lois. How did you know I was thinking of her? Yeah, that political witch hunt that she went on, not granting 501c3s, digging into people, punishing people, and then IRS was starting to come after groups because of their political affiliations, and just it's insane. These people should be thrown under a prison somewhere, yet one of the guys I was sitting over there in Sheridan with takes a couple rocks from the desert, and the BLM has him in prison for 3 years. I mean, that's insane.
Right.
Absolutely insane.
Well, you know, the ultimate message should be simply this. We believe in innocent until proven guilty. And we have been believing in that for a very long time. We preach that all the time.
Yep. And do you see how the mainstream media is killing that? The mainstream media right now is using these sex scandals. That's how they always use something. It's always something nefarious or something that everybody can jump on the bandwagon for. And they have these people, and some of them are guilty as hell. No doubt.
Oh, yeah,
they're lumping them all in together, and if you're accused, you're guilty, you need to step down, you need to get fired, you need to do, and they are killing the last tenets of our constitutional republic by doing so. You are innocent until proven guilty, you have the right to due process, this political witch hunts and political assassinations, this neo-Marxist, cultural Marxist insanity that's going on has to be stopped.
Yeah, it does. And you know, also, we have to be careful, too, because like political ends, whether it's the right or the left, you know, they like to say, oh, well, this group, oh, look, they're militia. So they're all horrible just because it has militia to it, right? So we have to be careful with doing that as well with other, quote unquote, groups, because if we want people to see and innocent and proven till proven guilty, plus on an individual level, we have
they asked
to judge
me that, by the way,
that on the individual level,
they asked
not
me
by a quote unquote group. What did they ask you?
They asked me if I was militia, and I said, "Aren't you?" He's like, "What? He didn't know what to say." He's like, "Aren't you?"
What happened? Like, right. Aren't you Dick Act 1902? And have you actually checked the statute? Everybody's part of the unorganized militia, and then you have the organized militia, which has the age.
I went down that road.
Aren't you? Just ask it. That's funny. Good answer, Tom. Good answer.
Well, I have to take, and look, I've taken every opportunity that I could. I figured maybe God put me where he put me for a reason. I had wonderful conversations, long conversations with the correction staff, deputies that are starting to see the light. Mm-hmm. Folks, we've run out of time. Resurrect the Republic. Tonight it's been Tom Lacovara Stewart and Lori Anderson. Thank you, Eric. Thank you, Chris. If you're out there, we'll be back on Monday with Eric the Freedom Screamer. Resurrect the Republic on RBN.
And as always, everyone, watch your backs, check your facts, Semper Fidelis, and have a wonderful and blessed night.
Keep your head down and your powder dry.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections.